young people here. Get started right.
Yes.
Stay right.
That's right.
Be right.
Something for the Lord. Amen. Amen. He deserves it.
Amen.
We owe it to him. Amen. We're glad you're here this morning. It's been a good 10 days. And praise the Lord for a couple of folks that have gotten saved.
Amen.
Amen. And some work, my trust, spiritual work's been done and prove us. And that's what the Word of God will do. And so take your Bible this morning. Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I want to also add that that was excellent Sunday school. And I agree, there is so much on the subject that I've seen people try to get and do an overview in a service or an hour. And it's always a help and a blessing, but it's a great, great plan to stretch that out over a month, because there's a lot and it's important and it's serious and it's kind of spooky. A lot of Christians really don't have much of a grasp on it, and if you come to this Sunday school, I've heard two of them, and it reinforced things that it'll help me explain some things better that I basically knew. But that was a blessing.
Amen.
Romans chapter 5 this morning in verse 20.
Amen.
And it says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound.
Amen.
I preached on this verse last Sunday as part of the message. I vividly remember the day the law entered. They entered with a battering ram and bulletproof vests and M16s. And after tearing the place up, I mean, where did law enforcement get the idea that someone might hide dope in the bag of their vacuum cleaner? I mean, maybe somebody did, but I thought, why are they tearing my vacuum cleaner up? How could you get to it if it was, how could it get to it if it was behind the paneling? Because they're ripping up, and they tore the place up. And I didn't care, because that kind of stuff didn't matter to me back then. Maybe that's why it's easy for it not to matter to me now. Amen. But as they tore the place up for 45 minutes or so, they placed me under arrest for possession of class 2 controlled substance and possession of weapons to facilitate said distribution. It was a mess. But then before they could load me up, they read me my rights. They read me my rights. And a policeman is required to give a subject at the time of their arrest, they've got to read them their constitutional rights. Is that right? Is that correct? I believe it is. They go like this. Some of you, like me, may have them memorized, but for those that don't, basically it goes like this. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to an attorney. Before, during, and after questioning. And if you cannot afford an attorney, one may be appointed to you at no cost. And then a policeman officer will ask you if you understand those rights before they make a statement to you. And lawyers will take a case apart if a law enforcement officer doesn't do that at the time of their arrest. So I definitely read my rights and loaded up and taken down. And before the morning was over, the offense abounded. And, but I'm going to come at it this way this morning. It seemed like we're just about to the place, where we must declare the rights of a sinner before we can warn him of eternal danger. Amen. I preached in a prison up in Ohio, and it was an AA meeting, the only AA meeting I've ever been to. AA is a 12-step program that has helped people. Amen. But I'm from the fast lane. I was way too impatient for any 12-step program. So I enrolled in the 1-step program. I stepped down into the presence of the King and I asked for forgiveness. And when I got up, I've never been the same.
Amen.
But I got asked to come and address the spiritual aspect of an AA meeting, and the prisoners were warned that this preacher, this brother's going to come in, and he's going to talk about forgiveness that he got, and it's going to be about Jesus Christ, and you don't have to listen to it. We can't make you stay. So you're free to go. Knowing what's coming, you're free to go. And a couple Muslims that were in jail there decided to stay. And I was glad they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ clear and plain. And we had a couple people get saved that morning, I believe. And then I got a call from the chaplain about a week or two later saying that it has been determined that I will never again be allowed to come into that prison. And it was because those two Muslims went to the warden and complained that I was shoving Jesus Christ down their throat by saying, he saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And they were offended. I violated their rights. Two walked out on a service in New York one time, upstate New York, after I read Romans chapter 1 and verse 26 and 27. And this was 20 years ago. I can imagine how well it'd go over now. It said this, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature.
Amen.
And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet, which was appropriate. And a couple people, and they went to church there, but they were offended that I don't give my opinion on anything. I'm a Bible preacher. That's a Bible verse. But, like I say, it just seems like we're almost to the point where we gotta, like, clarify. We gotta read a person's rights before we can tell them the truth. I was preaching, I got Jeff to preach in a prison in England a couple times, and on the southern coast, there's a prison in Portland that was built as a fort on the English Channel for the Napoleonic Wars. And that was around 1800. And boy, I tell you what, a fort carved into the side of a mountain that's impenetrable by sea or land just makes a great transition into a prison after the war's over. And it was a pretty impressive place to go into. And I got to go in with a missionary and preach to them. And so we're going across the courtyard, going to the room that they had assigned, and I'm walking through there with a Bible. And of course, me and the missionary, we go in there and preach in the prison. We had real good service. I'm going to tell you what, convicts don't care what country you're from, what accent you have. You just go in there and talk about sin and what Jesus Christ did to make sin available to be forgiven. And we had a great service a couple times. But then I got found out from the missionary that I wasn't going to be able to come back because a Buddhist priest witnessed the two of us walking across the courtyard in this 200-year-old prison with Bibles in our hand, found that offensive. I don't know if they were supposed to put them in a bag, brown paper bag. I don't know. The interesting thing is that this Buddhist priest was also an inmate. Amen. I mean, all these things, you start thinking the world is out of control, and it is. Right after 9/11, I mean October, okay, September, October, we're down in Miami, Hialeah. I preach down there. I'll be down there in January. I preach in a well, they call it a Cuban church, but down there in Miami, Florida, it's made up of folks from all over Latin America, South America. We got a pretty good church there. I go down there. Preach to an interpreter, been doing it for 20 years. And right after 9/11, we were on the street in South Beach, kind of an affluent area of Miami, and we had four corners covered in a big intersection on a Saturday, beautiful Saturday afternoon. And a guy rides up on a motorcycle, a bicycle. It wasn't Lance Armstrong, who will probably never see the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. Unless he gets saved. And this guy rode up and he just stopped and he's listening and this preacher's belting out scripture and then it was my turn and then we're doing it, right? And he said, he is getting agitated, and I can spot an agitated man. That was part of my job description in the old days. He says, what is this? Is this about religion? That's the problem with the world, religion. Of course, he was aware that it was religious fanatics that had, you know, brought down the... And so people don't know how to differentiate between what we're doing. They just lump it all together. And it just seems like we're in a place where, God forbid, we tell a person about hell without their permission. Or that we declare there's only one way out. Or that we say the Bible's true and everything else is wrong. We might violate somebody's rights. Maybe there's something we need to do in the name of political correctness. Maybe before opening a Bible or telling somebody that there is hope in Jesus Christ, maybe we should pull out our little card and read them their rights. Maybe they go like this. You have the right to believe anything you want. Amen. You have the right to reject the gospel. Nobody's putting anything down anybody's throat. You have the right to go to hell.
Yes.
If you want to. Why would anybody want to? Amen. So I'm going to preach to you on your rights this morning. And I believe it is appropriate. And at first I wondered if somehow Brian had seen my notes. But then I remembered the Bible says out of the mouth of two or three witnesses let a thing be established.
That's right.
So there's no conflict whatsoever.
Amen.
And so that's the goal today. Well, no, that's not the goal. That's what I want to try to do. I want to try to preach in a way that'll provoke you to think, and especially if you're not saved, that today you'd think more seriously about that. You've come to church on Sunday morning. Millions of Americans go to church on Sunday morning. If you're in here in our midst today, I'm going to repeat what the preacher said, what the songs that we have sung say. Knowing that your sins are gone is the most important issue there is. And when I say knowing, that book says you can know.
Amen.
Remember last night I showed you that verse, Sergio? Amen. All right, so let's pray again, and I'll read this. I'll give you this little outline and pray that God does something with it. Because if he doesn't, it ain't nothing going to happen. Lord, I do humbly come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, pray and ask God that you'd help me, God, to say what you'd have said to accomplish your purpose. My Bible says you're not willing that any should perish, so we're confident that your purpose is that every man, woman, boy, or girl come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God, I'm glad you'd made it easy, not hard. Forgive us sometimes when we make it harder than it needs to be. Father, may the gospel go out this morning simply. And may you bear witness to it. May the spiritual lights come on for somebody that needs it this morning. May the rest of us be reminded of what we got delivered from.
Amen.
And kindle a fire for us to go out there and take the glorious gospel of Christ to our friends, relatives, family members, etc. Out of love for thee. Father, I love you, and I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Take your Bible this morning. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 23, let me say number one tonight. Today we're talking about your rights. Let me just make it real clear. You have the right to remain silent. You have the right to remain silent. It says in 1 Peter 2 and 23, who, talking about the Lord, who when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Jesus Christ chose to remain silent in those verses, and when he did, he was fulfilling scripture. Amen. And the scripture is in Isaiah 53 and verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus Christ chose to remain silent. Three times Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Therein lies the significant difference between Jesus Christ and you.
Right.
He was innocent.
Amen.
You are not.
Amen.
The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, all. Amen. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. John chapter 3 and 18 says, he that believeth not, he that believeth on him is not condemned. If you're saved, that's you. That's how you get uncondemned, by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Not your brain, your faith.
Amen.
Amen. And then the verse goes on and says, that he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And if you're in here today, and you might be, it has been said, you might be the best person in the community, but if you've never trusted Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, because, beloved, let me say it again, without any intention of offending you, you're a sinner, and you need to be forgiven.
Yeah.
Now, that's not my opinion, that's not our opinion, that's Bible.
Yeah.
Amen. And so, as a sinner, if you choose to remain silent, if you choose not to open your mouth, you will fulfill Scripture too, just like the Lord Jesus Christ did. Only the Scripture is, whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If you choose, you can sit through church services and listen to things on television and the radio, and you can read books, and you can have a knowledge of God. And if you choose to remain silent, if you choose not to call upon the name of the Lord, you're going to bust hell wide open. Amen and amen. People go to hell every day. Amen. And they don't think they will. Many people think, well, I've never done anything that bad. Well, I don't know what they're comparing to, but it isn't Bible. Amen. Many people that live, they don't believe they will. I had somebody say, well, I don't believe God would send people to hell. I'm going to tell you something. What God did to take that curse of sin off you, he sent his Son to the cross.
Amen.
Amen. People say, that's not fair that people go to hell. No, it's not fair that Jesus Christ died on Calvary, and then folks like us hear it and just let it go in one ear and out the other, and then have an attempt to stand before God and say, I'm pretty good, let me in. He'd say, what'd you do with Jesus Christ? That Bible says he had to Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life.
Amen.
And it's not hard. Religion makes it hard.
Right.
Mankind makes it complicated. Man, I got saved in a jail cell alone after hearing preaching 3 weeks prior. I didn't know any Bible. I don't even know which Bible I had. But I had enough sense to admit I was a sinner, and if the Bible's true, I'm gonna go to hell. And the Bible's true, and if you choose to remain silent, you're gonna go to hell. And we don't want you to.
Amen.
That's why that man established this church here about 100 years ago, probably. How long? I don't know. A long time ago. Amen. It's had quite an effect. How many people in here right now are saved as a result of this church? All over the room. Wow. All. Thank you, sir, for minding God. And the others of you, too, that have. Thank God you didn't remain silent before. And thank God you didn't remain silent after.
Amen.
Amen. People go to hell every day because they're exercising their right to remain silent. Pilate said this in Matthew somewhere, 26, I believe. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Christ? That's a good question. That's an excellent question. I'm going to ask that question to you. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? Amen. What are you going to do with Jesus today? Oh, wait. I forgot to tell you. Before you answer, you have the right to remain silent. You don't have to answer any questions. Amen. But if you remain silent, you'll end up in hell. Amen. Right from a church pew. It was said, song there said, oh, David Spurgeon's been walking. Buddy, if you're saved in here today, you're every bit as much a walking miracle as David Spurgeon or anybody else. Same blood, same grace, same cross, same love to save a kid as it does a convict. Amen and amen. I'm not going to hell.
Amen.
Because I tell you what, and I had a million reasons not to. I had a million reasons not to accept the gift of eternal life. I had to worry about what the organization that I belonged with would think. They had a specific way of dealing with people that they might be just slightly worried might get honest. And I knew that because I was one of them. I said, I wasn't afraid of nobody when I was lost. I ain't going to be afraid of them now. I ain't tough enough to go to hell. And if Jesus Christ says I don't have to, and if Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I said, I'm in on this. I want in. Are you in?
Amen.
Amen. Good. You made a good decision. And if you're not, you need to get in.
Amen.
Come on in. The water's fine. That's what Pedro's going to say after the service. Well, he's shivering. Amen. Amen. He won't even care. He ain't as wimpy as some people I met. Ooh, ooh. Listen, let me tell you something. You end up in hell, you can remain silent. Here, you can let it go, and even with good intentions say, yeah, I need to do something with that, and then just never get around to it. How many have got a to-do list, and there's always things at the bottom of the list that you didn't. This is not the kind of thing, well, it doesn't really matter. This matters.
Amen.
Amen. And you can choose to remain silent here, and you can miss it, but I got news for you. You won't remain silent in the place you're going to end up. That book says there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth with full knowledge that some loudmouth preacher came down here from Ohio and said, please put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ while you can.
Amen.
Amen and amen. So you have the right to remain silent this morning. I'm glad I didn't. Amen. Anybody else like that?
Amen.
You have the right to remain silent, but I wouldn't advise it. Amen. All right, now, let me see here. Let me read this. You have the right to know that anything you say mark it down, and will be used against you in a court of law. Now, normal people, whatever that means, normal people get nervous with the possibility of being in trouble. Amen. I got called into the pastor's office one time, and that took me back to high school. I said, I don't like this. I ain't going to do anything to get in trouble. I didn't care for a long time, but I don't want to be in trouble. I don't want to be in trouble with God. Normal people don't like to be in trouble, and the police know that. And they take advantage of that. That's where you get the good cop, bad cop thing. One will come in and be real nice, and one will come in and be real not nice. And believe me, they take turns. They're all capable of both. Amen. And they do that to get people talking, because then people reveal information, and then they use it against them. Amen. I've noticed that works with witnessing. I was called to tag along with a guy going over to deal with a young man one time. And this kid is about 17, getting ready to turn 18, something like that. And he was supposedly saved. And he was messing up big time. And he was impudent. And he knew some Bible. And he just, the dad was trying to deal with him. And then they asked the preacher that I knew. And I went along with him. And I'm just sitting there. I'm not saved very long. And I'm doing that community service for that judge. And they're trying to talk to this kid and load him up with scriptures. And he's been in church all his life. And he's got this look on his face that just makes me want. So I'm not doing that anymore near as much. And I just, okay, at all. And I just, I sat and listened and listened and listened. And this kid's rolling his eyes and he's smirking. And the preacher isn't getting through, and his dad ain't getting through, and nobody's getting through. And then they said this. Brother Dave, do you have anything to say? And I said, I haven't been saved very long, but this kid's on his way to penitentiary. And he will be. So I said to him, I said, son, I said, you're a nice looking kid. I said, the way you're going right now, you're ignoring all this advice, you're going to end up in prison. And he's like, I'm tough. So I just said this. I want you to picture yourself with bright red lipstick on. Because where you're going, son, you're going to be somebody's girlfriend in a week. That got through. Oh, boy, that look look of fear and tears and everything. I don't know what he ever did, but that's kind of that good cop. I was the bad cop. But still, then I still told him the truth. Amen. The Bible said we're talking about anything you can, anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. It says in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Boy, that policeman reads you that rights. I'm going to tell you what, one day Jesus Christ is going to read you them rights. That's kind of scary. I mean, I said a lot of things that I'm glad I'm not going to be judged for. I'm glad you're underneath the blood. But I got to tell you, I said some things on this side of the cross. And that's why I want to keep short accounts. That's why I want to get right with God when I know I'm not. That's why I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. Because there are things I don't want to give an account for since I've been saved. Because like that person that's arrested, that person that's charged, that person that's going to go to jail and going to go to court, anything, and they'll tell you too, man, it ain't a secret. Oh, yeah, but you were nice to me. No, they tell you up front. Amen. And I'm telling you something. The Bible says you're going to be judged by every word. And if you got something you don't want to be judged for, you need to take the Bible remedy to get that thing right with God before you have to give an account for it. Now, the right's gone and says, let me see, I should have this memorized. I really do, but the prop is so impressive, isn't it? And you have the right to an attorney before, during, and after questioning. So that goes for you, too. Let me just tell you something. You ever get in trouble with the law? If you ever need one, could I advise getting a good one? Amen. Yeah. Familiar with the system. Proven in the legal arena, well-versed in the language of the court. Sounds like I know what I'm talking about, don't it? Amen. Don't get a lawyer that plays golf with the prosecutor. Yeah, and don't get one that'll use your case as a bargaining chip to advance his career. That's what they do. Everybody's settling out of court. And somebody's going to prison because they settled out of court. Amen. And let me say, don't even consider representing yourself. Yeah. I read a book in high school by F. Lee Bailey, and he said this. He said, anybody that represents themselves in court has a fool for a client. Now you think about this. This is one of the top lawyers that ever lived. Amen. I would like to recommend a lawyer, and you won't need the Yellow Pages. And brother read it this morning. It says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. But you're gonna. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Amen. The righteous. That's what advocate means. It's a lawyer. You have the right to an attorney. And beloved, you can have one. You can have Jesus Christ plead your case. Amen. Talk about proven in the legal arena. Amen. And it says this. Now, this is a real key verse. And I've found this verse in every Bible version I've looked at. So that doesn't mean people don't see it. It's that they don't. It isn't in there. It means they overlook it, ignore it. Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, there is one God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And one mediator between God and man. Now, that's what it says. It says one mediator. And then the verse, it doesn't leave that hanging. So you can say, yes, it's, no, it is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The righteous. Amen. And it says, between one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I'm blending verses. Still sounding good though. Amen. Only one person can get through on your behalf. And you know what happens when you preach this and a congregation this size? It comes up in your mind. But what about? Well, I can't answer all that. Some of those questions I could answer. But I just want to say to you again, the Word of God says. Amen. Now, if you've heard something different than that somewhere along the way, I would encourage you to default to what the Bible says. Amen. The Bible says there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. Say, well, I was taught different. I understand. But maybe you need this morning to consider what if what the Bible says is gun barrel straight. Because it is. And you've got an advocate with the Father, and he can get through because, like I say, you're related. Amen. He's related to the judge. Amen. And by faith, he can be related to you. Now, we're talking about your right this morning, and after you're booked, you get to make a phone call. But let me read through. Oh, that's not there. That isn't a right. I've seen people do things in the courts of being arrested. I won't say who. And they didn't get that call for days. Amen. But they'll give you a phone call, and I've never heard anybody say, oh, okay, I'll take that call later. Buddy, when a person gets locked up, they want that call right now. Amen. They want it immediately because it's important. And they're not ordering pizza. And they're not calling one of their buddies, hey, what's up? They're trying to get a hold of somebody that can help. Might be mama, you know, with some bond money. My case, it was always a lawyer or a bondsman. Amen. But you're going to have to make that call. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you've got a call to make too. And you got one call. You better make it count. You better call somebody that can help. And it isn't multiple choice. And it isn't real hard to figure out. He said, one mediator, that's the guy. That's who you want to call.
Right.
We're talking about your rights this morning. You got the right to remain silent. I wouldn't advise it. You need to know anything you say and do will, anything you say can and will be used against you. There's no scale outside the pearly gates, and everything you say and do will be weighed. You're going to come up short.
Yeah.
You're going to be judged. And if in the course of your life you never called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to go against you. And no matter how good a person you are or were, you're going to end up in the wrong place.
Amen.
Amen. And I pray that that doesn't happen to anybody. And, you know, the number, let me see. You got one call. What's the number? Oh, yeah. Romans 10, 9, 10, 13. That's the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, that's the prayer. It's not the prayer that saves you. It's an opportunity to confess what you and God both already know. What's that? You're a sinner. Amen. We're all sinners. That should make it easy. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, that's verse 10, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, comma, thou shalt be saved. Period.
Amen.
I said it one night, you do your part, God does his part. It doesn't say, and thou shalt be saved, comma, as long as you, I'm glad it wasn't that complicated.
Amen.
Say, could it really be that easy?
It is.
Work for me.
Amen.
I learned a lot after, but I got on board. Holy Spirit moved in that day. I got honest with God and asked for forgiveness. And I had no clue what I was getting in on. I'll tell you that for sure. But it was the best thing I ever got in on.
Amen.
If you're not saved, that'll be the best thing you'll ever do. Bible says in verse 13 there in Romans 10, whosoever shall, we're talking about one call, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. I made that call from a jail cell. And amen. It really is that simple. People complicate it. I'm glad it wasn't complicated. I'm glad the preacher brought it to me, gave me the truth. Bible said you should know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And I had to chew on it for 3 weeks. And I said, if that's true, then two things. I'm in more trouble than I thought.
Right.
And Jesus Christ went to the cross to save my soul.
Yes.
Amen.
And when I went, duh, I've done a lot of dumb things in my life. But that'd be the dumbest thing anybody could ever do, is to end up in hell knowing Christ went to the cross. I called on him this morning. I have a lot of regrets. I've never regretted getting saved.
Amen.
Amen. Just thought I'd let you know your rights this morning. You have the right to reject this whole thing. You have the right to reject Christ and go to hell. But I hope you don't.
Amen.
Been said, it'll be said again. If you're in here and you don't know, you don't have the confidence, based on the word of God, this is not a feeling that we are, what we believe is based on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and he gave it to us clearly in a Bible.
That's right.
Amen. Not in a dream in the middle. In a book.
Amen.
And that book says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're not saved, there's people in this room who weren't saved when this meeting started. But they did just that. Called upon the name of the Lord. We're baptizing one of them today.
Amen.
There's a couple more you're going to see in that little pond out there before the next month or two's out. I'm confident. Amen. And there's more that need to get saved. There's some people in here right now that need to get saved. Say, how do you know? Are you kidding me? There isn't a group of people on the planet this big where somebody doesn't need to get saved. I believe that. I believe that. And I believe God brought you here for a reason.
Amen.
And the reason isn't to join a church, isn't to sing a song. It sure isn't to put money in the plate. Because I've never seen a plate. I've been coming here 10 years. Amen. God brought you here so you could know that Jesus Christ did everything necessary to make a way for your sins to be forgiven.
Amen.
So if they never have been, this would be a good day.
Amen.
All right. Now I'm talking to people that aren't saved, and that's mainly the emphasis of the message, but I want to read a verse I read the other night again, and maybe it was last night, I'm not sure, but 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Christian, if you got a Bible here tonight, today, open to that verse, and let me just read the verse again. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19, I'll give you a chance. I'll give you a little time. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, and let me just reiterate something that's important. It says, what? Paul writing. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body, and in your spirit, which are God's. I'm talking to lost people here today, and I'd say you have the right to remain silent, but if you do, you'll end up in hell.
Right.
You need to call upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
But, a bunch of you have done that. Bunch of you have called on the name of the Lord. Bunch of you are saved. Bunch of you are saved and know it. Amen.
Amen.
I say this to you. You don't have the right to remain silent.
Amen. Amen.
You don't have any rights at all.
Amen.
We live in a day and age where everybody, oh, my rights, my rights. You put your faith and trust in Christ, you don't even belong to yourself no more.
Yeah.
You belong to Him.
Amen.
And you've got a duty to let other people know that Jesus Christ is still in the saving business.
Amen.
And Matthew chapter 5 and 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What a commission we have. Now that can be hard if you spend your whole Christian life fighting with your flesh, or it can be a joy. Amen. To share Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. I'm glad somebody did came and told me. And I want to say this to you, Christian. If you've been, if you're in here and you've never been saved, you need to call upon the Lord, and we'll help you in any way we can. And if you're saved in here today and you've been silent, you need to make a call too. The Bible said if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive
Thank
us our sins
Lord,
and
amen.
To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This isn't a seminar on how I think you ought to live your life. It's just Bible.
There you go. Amen.
Now what you do with it, you can explain to God in the day when you give an account thereof. But He gave us this book to give us a leg up on that.
Amen.
And I just tell you, it's a little, it's like street preaching. You get a little nervous and like, oh, I don't know. And then what you're doing, you're going, wow, that was not only not bad, it was fun. That describes the whole Christian life. We're a little apprehensive because there's a voice, that little devil guy saying, no, 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 don't sell out, don't sell out. And that angel, he's just saying, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You took the best I had to offer. What are you going to do? Live for yourself? And boy, the day you decide to yield to the right voice, you find out, now I know what all that yelling and screaming and spitting and preaching and teaching was about. Because this is a blast!
Yep. Amen.
It's fun because I know how it's going to end.
Amen.
I hope you do. Let's stand.
Amen.
You got some rights. Amen. If you're lost, you got some rights. Hope you don't exercise them because you'll be judged accordingly. Amen.
Amen.
And if you're in here and you're saved, it's time for us to get re-fired up.
Amen.
And I believe that's probably to a large degree been accomplished this week. We've had a wide variety of topics covered, and you people are Bible literate. And I believe some business is done for God, but that doesn't mean, you know, there's nothing left. So if you need to talk to the Lord about maybe, you know, being silent, I'll just end it right there. But if you're not saved, you need to get saved.
Yeah.
All right, you ready?
Ready.
How about you? You ready?
Amen.
Ready to do business with God? You listen to the preacher here.
Amen.
And you act accordingly. Amen, amen.
Standing, we're going to sing in just a minute number 250 in your red book. This is a song called God's Final Call. And the reason why I decided to sing this to close out the preaching is because I want you to consider something. We've been talking all week long about this amazing promise that God has extended to you. The salvation of your soul. The fact that you can get your sins forgiven. You can get a clean slate. You can get a fresh start. And it's all because of what he did on the cross for you. And the fact that he's extended this offer to you freely. It doesn't cost you a thing except to offer yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is one sobering reality to this offer that Jesus Christ gives. And that it is time limited. It's time limited. Do you know that you don't have any guarantee that you're going to be alive when the sun goes down?
That's right.
If you are alive when the sun goes down, there's no guarantee. Right now you might be convicted and there's this burden in your heart that you know you need to give yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're holding back. There is no guarantee that come Monday morning you're even going to care. That's dangerous because you're going to live the rest of your life and you're going to have passed the opportunity that God has given you. I'm telling you, this offer is time limited. If you're burdened for your soul right now, you need to get this taken care of right away. It is imperative. It is with all urgency that I implore you to turn to Jesus Christ right now while you have an opportunity. We're going to sing number 250. This is God's final call. I am praying that this is the day of your salvation, that this is the day that you finally drop all of your arguments and you give yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about this as we sing number 250. Service and for this upcoming baptism that Pete has given his life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is unashamed to tell us and to demonstrate that in baptism. And let's bow and ask God to bless. Lord, thank you so much for the preaching of your word. Thank you so much that you've made salvation possible to us and that you loved us and you cared enough about us to bring us the gospel. And thank you, Lord, way back in the day when I called upon your name, you had mercy on me, you had patience, and Lord, I love you for bringing me the gospel and opening my eyes. And I pray, Lord, for anybody in this room that is not saved, Lord, please open their eyes. Lord, we plead with you that you would, by your power, convince them of their sin. And I pray that whatever arguments, whatever's holding them back, whatever's distracting them, Lord, that you take it out of the way that they could be saved. And Lord, we thank you for Pete, and we thank you, Lord, that he called upon your name, and
yes.
And Lord, thank you for this upcoming baptism, and Lord, I pray that you just give him an incredible time of service for you, Lord, that you just work things out for him and lead and guide him according to your will, and that he'd live for you all the days of his life.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
I want you to know that this service is not over until we have the baptism. So pick up your stuff and come outside and make a big group around the water trough. And we'll be baptizing in just a few minutes.